Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Radio, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon a lot of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and it was a doozy. All hell broke loose right after our Friday show. I'm going to start with the overarching story. It's been playing all weekend long, and I'm going to give you some maybe different insight into some of what's going on. The Department of Justice released a redacted version of the affidavit supporting the search warrant of Mar-a-Lago. It was heavily redacted. It was about 38 pages, about half of it was redacted to protect the lives and to protect the safety and against harassment of witnesses, and also to protect top secret documents, which Trump stole and took to Mar-a-Lago. But it really goes beyond that. Let's go through this. Trump immediately, when it was released, blasted the judge, the Department of Justice, the FBI, right after the release, that Trump himself had demanded. He demanded it in the interests of transparency. So they released it. And he blasted them. All Trump cares about is being in the paper and on TV. That's all he cares about, having 24/7 attention and 24/7 name recognition. In the affidavit, the FBI, the Department of Justice, set out that they were concerned about obstruction of justice, the hiding and withholding of documents, and they felt that there was probable cause to believe that there are still documents down there that Trump was hiding. Here's Trump's statement. Trump said, quote, "The political hacks and thugs had no right to storm Mar-a-Lago and steal everything in sight. We are right now living in a lawless country that just so happens to be also a failing nation," end quote. What former president, any president, says the United States is a failing nation? What candidate who wants to be president again describes us as a lawless country and a failing nation? That's false, known by him to be false. Failing nations are Russia, to whom he has been subservient, China, Cuba, Venezuela, not the United States. There are 38 pages extensively redacted in this affidavit, and the statement said this: additional documents remain on the premises. There's probable cause to believe that they are being hidden. Probable cause to believe that evidence of obstruction will be found at the premises. It went on to say, highly classified records that have been produced were unfoldered, intermixed with other records, and otherwise improperly identified. These are classified documents, some of them top secret, some of them what we used to call eyes only. Only a handful of people could look at them. They're stuck in boxes with newspaper articles. Some of them are torn up, some of them are shredded. Here's what a preliminary review of the document showed. There were 184 documents bearing classification markings. In other words, they're classified. 67 of them were confidential. 92 of them were labeled secret. 25 top secret. They were in 15 boxes. They were taken out. Some of the top secret ones came from, quote, clandestine human sources. That is significant, because clandestine human sources means spies overseas. It means people who have infiltrated, penetrated the inner circle of Russian intelligence, the Russian military, Chinese intelligence, Chinese military, Iranian intelligence and military, North Korean and others. If their identities are revealed, they will be tortured and killed. The CIA at one time employed a Chinese national because they wanted to be diverse. Turns out he was a Chinese spy, and he made copies every day of everything he saw, sent it to China, and met most, actually, of our in-country undercover agents were rounded up and killed. The redactions were to prevent these people from being identified, and if you describe the document and reveal classified information, even if you don't reveal the guy, Russia, Iran, China, North Korea, and the rest know exactly where that document came from, and they know the four or five people who had access to it or drafted it, and one of them is going to be killed. More documents had been turned over in June, but the affidavit said there were still top secret documents there in August when they went in. As a result of the search, there were 20 additional documents brought out. One of the chilling statements is this: some of the documents may have been taken elsewhere. We are working on a damage assessment. Some of the documents have been taken elsewhere. Trump has a golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he's spending the summer. He has apartments in New York City. He has lots of places he's lived. The FBI and the Justice Department do not know, as of this show, where he's taken some of these documents. When I say that there are clandestine human sources for some of this and putting spies at risk, let me give you one concrete example, only one. We have a network called the Five Eyes, E-Y-E-S, the Five Eyes. It's the U.S., the U.K., merry old England, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and this is for the containment of Russian, of China, and Russia to some extent in the Pacific area, where we don't have NATO. But Biden has put together kind of a temporary NATO by putting all these countries together and including the Philippines and Vietnam, who are not part of the Five Eyes. Intelligence is routinely exchanged among the Five Eyes. We routinely exchange intelligence with the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and they with us. If they get the idea that intelligence that they're sharing with us is ending up in a golf club or a closet or a storeroom in Mar-a-Lago, Bedminster, New York, or anywhere else, they are not inclined to be as open about sharing information. Some of this, the clandestine human source information, must be in a controlled environment. It can't be held outside the intelligence community. Some of it is so sensitive it can't be shared with the Five Eyes. It can't be shared with our NATO allies. On June 22nd, the FBI subpoenaed surveillance video of Mar-a-Lago, and they got it. And they were alarmed because it showed boxes being moved out of the storeroom and moved to other areas that didn't show up on surveillance. They had met on June 3rd and were assured that all these documents had been turned over. That was a lie. Trump was lying. But then the surveillance on June 22nd showed that they were being moved out of that storeroom. When they went in on the search warrant, they didn't get everything. They did not get everything. The surveillance showed that the documents, some of them were being slipped into other boxes and taken away. When they went in on August 8th, the search warrant, they found additional documents in the basement area and on the floor of Trump's closet in his office. Here's the timeline. In late 2020, right after the election that Trump lost, there were talks between the National Archives and Trump about turning over presidential documents. This would be while he was still president in the lame duck period. January 18th, 2021, Trump moved a lot of stuff out of the White House, and there were stacks and stacks and stacks of boxes. Nobody knows what was in those boxes, or didn't at the time. In May of 2021, Trump had been out of the presidency since January, so 3 months later, National Archives alerted Trump to that there was substantial missing material. In the summer of 2021, in Mar-a-Lago, Trump is reported to have been flashing around documents at dinner in public. You know, he has big dinner parties. He likes to be flattered. He likes to be observed by other people, club members, diners, and he's flashing around Kim Jong-un's letters to him and other materials to show what a big guy is, how important he is. The archives warned Trump. They said, return it. On January 18, 2022, a year after Trump left the presidency, the archives received some sensitive materials from Trump, about 15 boxes, Much of it NDI, called National Defense Information. National Defense Information is separate from classified. If you share National Defense Information with an enemy of the United States, that's a felony, even if it is not classified. The Espionage Act says that. When they got those boxes on January 18, the National Archives realized there was a lot more. There was a lot more classified records. And even the stuff on January 18, 2022 was intermingled, ripped, unfolded. In spring of 2022, the grand jury was convened on the documents, and Trump falsely said that he had given them all back. There's a lot more on this. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Back to the chronology. On April 29, 2022, that's 15 months after Trump left the presidency, the DOJ talked with Trump's lawyers, told them that there were 700 pages in the 15 boxes that they'd given a few months before, 100 documents with classified markings, and it wasn't everything. On May 11, 2022, 16 months after Trump left the presidency, the grand jury subpoenaed Trump for documents. On June 3rd, 2022, 17 months after Trump left the presidency, Jay Brat, the Department of Justice Chief of Counterintelligence, went to Mar-a-Lago personally with FBI agents. They inspected the storage room. Trump came into the room to greet them. You can have anything you want, he said. We've already given it to you. Trump's lawyer signed a statement, which was false, saying everything had been turned over. Brat sent them a letter to secure the storage room 17 months after Trump left the presidency and put all remaining boxes in it. In June of 22, a couple of months ago, the FBI interviewed Trump's staff. June 22nd, they subpoenaed the surveillance footage, and then they saw that documents had been snuck out of the storage room, put in boxes, and taken to wherever they don't know where. They got very alarmed. This information would reveal the identities of foreign spies. and it would reveal identities of people cooperating with the FBI and the Department of Justice to get these documents back. On August 5th, that's this month, the federal judge approved the search warrant. On August 8th, the search warrant was executed, and the agents found 11 sets of classified information, scores of pages from the basement storage area on the floor of Trump's closet in his office, and believe it or not, in a former dressing room in a bridal suite above the ballroom. Some of these documents were part of the HUMINT, H-U-M-I-N-T control system, or HCS. It's a sensitive compartmented information designation, an SCI, taken from clandestine sources, human intelligence, foreign spies. SCI is classified information, which is the most sensitive in the government, which is required to be handled within formal access control areas. An example I've given in the past, is when Dwight Eisenhower, now Dwight Eisenhower was the general of the army. He was in charge of World War II in Europe against the Nazis, two-term president. Even he, there's nobody more likely for us to entrust our secrets than Dwight Eisenhower. Even he, when he wanted to see these kinds of documents, went to a secure area. Guy comes in the room with a briefcase that he's handcuffed to. They open the briefcase. Eisenhower reads the documents, doesn't keep them, doesn't take them, puts them back in the briefcase. The guy leaves and goes back to the secure area. You know, what kills me is that the Republican leadership, almost to a man and woman, because Elise Stefanik is part of this too, have attacked the FBI. Some have said defund the FBI. They've attacked the Justice Department. They've attacked Biden. They said, well, no, this was unfair. They should have just asked Trump. They asked Trump from before he left the presidency at the end of 2020 up until June of 2022, 17 months later, to return him. You haven't turned him back over. He kept lying and saying he had. His lawyer is in big trouble because she signed a statement, a written statement, saying it had all been turned over, and that was false. The only way she gets to save herself is to say she was told that by Trump. If she doesn't, then she knowingly lied. That is false swearing. Even if it was not under oath, saying that to law enforcement is a felony. It's called obstruction. When the FBI and the Justice Department say that there is obstruction going on, they're not just talking about hiding documents. They're talking about deliberately transferring documents out of Mar-a-Lago. And one thing I think that would break the straw that would break the camel's back, even among Trump supporters, if it happens that Trump actually shared these with foreign governments for money or blackmail. If that happened, he is no different from the Rosenbergs in the early 50s who were put to death, or the people who collaborated with the Nazis in the 1940s who were also put to death. No one expects capital punishment here, but we've got to get the bottom of this thing. The Republican leadership has got to stop, to shut up. Lindsey Graham came out and said, well, if Trump is indicted, there'll be a riot. We're not talking about, it's a little premature to talk about any indictment. Get the documents back. Where did Trump take them? Did he take them to Bedminster? Putin put out a statement saying he's already seen the documents. He may be lying, and he may not be lying. They own Trump. You cannot have these kinds of top secret documents rattling around in Mar-a-Lago, where there are hundreds of staff, thousands of guests roaming around, and everybody has access, disclosing our foreign spies. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, another development in the Trump taking of top secret information that he continues to hold and that he's hiding and that he moved out of the storeroom. You may remember there was a judge named Reinhart who signed the search warrant. He's a federal judge in Florida. And the fact is, he was the one who decided to release the affidavit, redacted. He's the one that reviewed the redactions. He's the one who has jurisdiction over the case. The Trump people asked for a special master. Special master is a concept in law that if there's a discovery dispute, let's say one side wants all documents relating to XYZ, the other party says, no, a lot of that's irrelevant. A lot of that is irrelevant. Somebody has to review those documents to see which side should win. It's a lot of work. These judges don't have time. They appoint a special master. Special master is usually a retired or active lawyer or retired judge who's well-respected, he's neutral, experienced, and he or she looks at these documents, writes a report, and says, Judge, I think that these documents should be produced and these shouldn't be. And the judge almost always adopts it. Adopts that as his or her opinion. Well, to have a special master go over classified information that the FBI and the DOJ say is probable cause to believe established a crime and obstruction, and have a federal judge agree to start another lawsuit to try to get a different judge, because Judge Reinhart would not have agreed to that, is frankly unlawful. When I say unlawful, there's no statute against it, but in the rules of civil procedure, in the federal system, you don't get to switch judges if you don't like the judge. Believe it or not, in Wisconsin, among state judges, we have a very special provision that goes back to the Fighting Bob La Follette Progressive Republican era 100 years ago. If a lawsuit is filed and it's assigned to Judge Jones, and either party, for some reason, thinks Judge Jones shouldn't hear it or is biased or they don't like him, they can file a notice of substitution. And if they do it very quickly, they get a new judge in state court. That's not true in federal court under the rules of civil procedure. So what the Trump people did was try to go around Judge Reinhart and start another legal action saying we want a special master. There was no basis for it. It was assigned to Judge Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Eileen Mercedes Cannon, despite her married name, was born in Cali, Colombia. She came to this country, apparently got citizenship. She's very right-wing, very right-wing. She's a Trump appointment. She comes from an authoritarian culture, a culture in Colombia that obeys the strong man. In a lot of South America and Central America, they obey the strong man, whether it is on the left or the right. So in Venezuela and Cuba, they obey the leftist strong man. In Colombia, up till recently, they obey the right-wing strong man. There's fighting between rebels and government forces. A lot of it's racial. Basically more indigenous people against more European people. Eileen Mercedes Cannon is pickled in that culture of obeying the strongman. So she came out with a statement over the weekend saying, I'm considering appointing a special master to review these documents and to tell the FBI stop reviewing them. even for a damage assessment, to see if any of our foreign spies, for instance, have been killed because Trump turned these things, if he did, over to a foreign power. Now, there is a hearing set for Thursday, September 1. This is a lawless decision. You must understand something. The Republican Party is using unelected federal judges to undermine our democracy. You must understand that. And one thing they are doing, and there's plenty of native-born people who are doing the same thing, but one thing they're doing is getting into office, especially unelected office, people from right-wing authoritarian cultures. They do not share our values. Eileen Mercedes Cannon does not share our values. And she's not alone. Kash Patel, K-A-S-H. Kash Patel was in the Trump administration. He was born in the United States. His parents were from India, somehow got in here. He himself is pickled in an authoritarian culture. They worship the strongman. They obey the strongman. You got to understand that. You do not worship the strongman. Under the First Amendment, you have a right to freedom of speech and assembly and petition the government. They don't have that in these places. So Kash Patel, for instance, goes down the line with Trump. Now, he's not alone. Steve Bannon does the same thing. I understand it. So does Giuliani and some of the others. But these authoritarian people that they stick in there in unelected positions, Eileen Mercedes Cannon as an unelected federal judge, and Kash Patel, K-A-S-H, believe it or not, Kash Patel was the acting chief of staff to a cabinet member. This is insidious. This is wrong. Do you realize there is nothing in the Constitution that says that federal judges can overrule any act of Congress? Did you know that? What happened was about 100 years ago, 200 years ago, in the early 1800s, in the case of Marbury versus Madison, the Supreme Court overturned one thing of Congress that ordered the Supreme Court to do something. They said, no, we're a co-equal branch of government. You can't tell us to do something. And that was it. Till the mid-1800s in the Dred Scott decision, they ruled that a black man could not be a citizen. And that was one of the things, not the only thing, that precipitated the Civil War. Then after that, Roosevelt in the 1930s, these were all right-wing Republicans on the Supreme Court. They said, well, you can't have the New Deal. We're in a historic depression, but you can't have a New Deal. And Roosevelt stood up to him. He said, no, who are you? I'm going to put more justices on there and outnumber you. There's fighting and they backed down, they chickened out. There's an old saying that the Supreme Court follows the election returns. Well, now you have a whole network of Trump appointees as federal judges. They're appointed for life. They're not elected. They can serve till they're 100 years old. They can serve till they're 100 years old. And they sit back, some of them like spiders, and are just overturning things and making rulings in the benefit of the Republican Party and the benefit of Trump. And some of them are from authoritarian cultures, like Eileen Mercedes Cannon. She ordered the Justice Department to file a more detailed receipt for the property taken. What, does she want to know who the undercover spies are? Who is she? She has no classification. She has no security clearance. I don't want somebody from Colombia knowing who our spies are in South America in the drug cartels. She wants for property taken, all property seized pursuant to the search warrant. Nothing in the Constitution that says she can do that. She also ordered the Department of Justice to file a notice regarding the status of their review. She may order the review halted. Who is she? This is a district judge, a Trump appointee from authoritarian culture. Does not share our values. And she's going to what? She's going to order the Justice Department the FBI, the Defense Department, the CIA, to stop trying to assess the damage Trump made if he gave these documents to the Russians, which Putin says he did. And who's standing up for this? Who's standing up for this authoritarian spider? Lindsey Graham is standing up, the Republican leadership. You know, Biden, over the weekend, at the end of last week, gave a magnificent speech in Maryland, and he said that the Republican Party is semi-fascist. I thought he was being polite, actually. What do you mean semi-fascist? Immediately, the Republicans attack. Oh, you're accusing Republicans of being fat. No, we're not. Republican voters are Americans just like I am and you are. Many of them were my fellow veterans in the Navy. Excellent people, excellent guys. We worked together, stood watch together, went on liberty together. I don't care how people vote. It's their leadership. Their leadership is semi-fascist, according to Biden. In my view, overwhelmingly fascist, except for people, magnificent people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. The Republican Party has found a way to subvert our democracy, even though they can't do it in elections. They're using the federal judiciary. They use the federal judiciary in the Supreme Court in overturning Roe v. Wade, and in Citizens United in overturning 100 years of precedent and stare decisis from several Supreme Courts and several Congresses, saying that corporations can't give money in elections. There's still a statute that says foreigners can't, but wealthy foreigners can get citizenship very easily. First of all, some of them get UK citizenship or Canadian citizenship, which is really easy. And then they just say, okay, I'm UK, I'm Canada, I want to come here. Or there's a provision now, if you have, I think it's still 500 grand to invest in a business, they'll give you a green card right away. Anybody. I'm not kidding. Anybody. So various intelligence services give guys 500 grand. They say, okay, now I have a green card. And then you get in line for citizenship. Then you can give all the money you want. Black money, dark ops. Black money, dark ops. Who is Eileen Mercedes Cannon to tell the CIA, the Justice Department, the FBI, that they have to keep her posted on their review, what they found? She may stop it. Be nice to deport her. The problem is that she's a citizen now. In the UK, they can revoke your citizenship. And in the UK, they don't even have to let you know. One day you go to work, they grab you and throw you on a plane and throw you out of the country. That's largely directed at Islamic terrorists. Nowhere in Europe do they have birthright citizenship. Nowhere. We're the only ones. And here's another strange fact. You must understand this. If the Turkish ambassador to Washington's wife gives birth in Maryland or Virginia, that child is not a citizen. Because under the 14th Amendment, that child is subject to the jurisdiction laws of a foreign country. But if an average woman from Turkey who's 8 months pregnant comes into New York to a so-called birth hotel and gives birth to a child, that child is a citizen under our law, this current interpretation. And why is that? They're still subject to the jurisdiction of Turkey, just like the ambassador's wife. But we go, oh, okay, that's okay. So there are birth hotels in Miami, in L.A., in New York, and everywhere. Now, some of these people, I'm sure, are going to be very good people. But this, we have a very, very loose, porous immigration system. And the Republican Party is taking advantage of it. They're taking advantage of it. And they're putting, in this case, Eileen Mercedes Cannon, Trump is, as a federal judge. And she is saying, I can tell the CIA and the FBI and the DOJ not to review these documents until I tell them they can, and that they have got to get me a detailed receipt so I can lick my little chops and see what they did. I'm tired of this, getting very exercised about this. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'm going to take a quick snapshot. This is unbelievable. Senate races in the governor race. In Pennsylvania, fortunately, Fetterman is way ahead so far of Mehmet Oz. Mehmet Oz is bad news. But in the governor race in Pennsylvania, there's a guy named Doug Mastriano got the Republican nomination. He has made favorable QAnon references. He's not just Trump. He not only believes in the, he was at the January 6th insurrection, by the way, claims he did not trespass. They've never arrested him. He's running, he's a Republican nominee for the Republican nomination for governor in Pennsylvania against Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro, the Democrat, good guy, attorney general. And Shapiro's a little bit ahead, but it's margin of error. Some Democrats try to make sure that Mastriano got nominated. That was a big mistake. Just like in Maryland and everywhere else, some of our people have interfered trying to do what they thought was nominating the most extreme character because, of course, we'd win. Well, that's not true. Not, of course, anything. Just because Claire McCaskill in Missouri back in 2012 and Joe Donnelly in Indiana were running against two nuts who said really disgusting things about sexual assault and abortion. Yeah, so McCaskill and Donnelly each got in for another term. That was it. That's a lot different from doing your best to see nominated in the Republican Party people who destroy our democracy. Because in Pennsylvania, it's the only state in the country where the governor appoints the Secretary of State. Pennsylvania, you can't vote for the Secretary of State. The Republican nominates and just designates who it is. And Mastriano will put in somebody like himself if he gets in. And he has said favorable things about QAnon. This guy is beyond extreme, and he's within the margin of error. Well, come to find out, back in 2014, he was on the faculty of the Army War College. I don't know how he got there. And they said, let's pose for a picture of some of the faculty members. And they said, if you want to dress as an historical figure, you can. They thought that would be cute. You look at the picture, and Mastriano is off on one side. Most of the people in the picture have suits and ties on. Very, very. One guy had some kind of a cloak. I don't know what he thought he was, who he was. Mastriano is posing in a Confederate Army uniform. He's at the Army War College in 2014 on the faculty. I have no idea what he was teaching. And Mastriano is standing there grinning in a Confederate uniform. And Mastriano, the Confederate Army attacked the United States. There were people from West Point on both sides of that conflict. Robert E. Lee was a West Point grad. Lincoln wanted him to lead the Union Army, but he became a Confederate and betrayed his country. We're tearing down Confederate statues, and the clown stands there in a Confederate uniform. The clown who has given QAnon signals was at the January 6th insurrection, said that the election was rigged, is one of the people pushing the coup, the Green Bay sweep, to have the race thrown into the House of Representatives, even though Biden won the popular vote by 7 million votes and the Electoral College vote by 60. He got about 303 electoral votes and he only needed 270. And the other guy got something like 235. They still wanted to throw it in, to the House of Representatives, which would have voted Trump because there are 50 states. Each state gets one vote in that kind of a proceeding. Nancy Pelosi doesn't come into it. And there's a majority of the states that have Republican delegations in Congress because they're very small delegations sometimes, but they're majority Republican. So it doesn't matter that California has 55 congressmen and New York has 40 some odd, and they only get one vote each. They only get one vote each. But Mississippi gets a vote. Idaho gets a vote. You see? Do you see how our democracy is being stripped down under the cover of legal legitimacy? But to have a guy running for governor of Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is one of the major, in terms of population and economic impact, one of the major states in the country, who can appoint the Secretary of State, to have that guy pose in a Confederate uniform, say nice things about QAnon, and try to engineer the coup, this is precarious if he gets in. It is precarious if he gets in. It is precarious if he gets in. Now, Josh Shapiro is a good guy and he'd be a good governor. And I'm hoping he wins, but it's margin of error. It's margin of error. One of the subtexts of all this, I've talked about how now a Trump federal judge in Florida is saying that she demands an accounting from the FBI and the Justice Department of how they're counting of what they found in the documents. She may order a special master. She may stop their review. All without any constitutional basis at all. I've told you about that. Well, the really insidious use of the law, this happened in Berlin in the 1930s. What Hitler did is manipulate the existing law to make himself a dictator and start murdering people. That can be done in any democracy. Here's how it's being done now. In October, the Supreme Court, 6-3, remember one of them, Amy Coney Barrett, was confirmed in a lame duck by a president, nominated by a president who lost after they had sat on an open seat when they had nominated Merrick Garland on the other side. They rammed her through. The Dobbs case that overturned Roe v. Wade was 5-4. It was not 6-3. It was her vote that did it. Well, in October, they are going to consider a case out of North Carolina that would say that the state legislatures have constitutional authority to ignore their own Supreme Courts, their own Attorney General, their own governor, do whatever they want in elections, and federal courts, including the Supreme Court, can't change that. So they can say, we're not going to have presidential elections. We're going to pick the electors out of the legislature. And if we do have an election, it's just a beauty contest. As a result of this decision, you may not have a right to vote for president. And I've been saying this, and you have got to stop yawning, and you've got to think about this. This is in real time. It's happening now. This is not Berlin in 1932. Republican Party in this state has even proposed making the governor the one who appoints the treasurer and the secretary of state and the superintendent of public instruction. And that can't be vetoed by a governor, even a Democratic governor. This is going on right now. Pay attention. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.